The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hello, everyone. My name is Julian, and today, me and some of my classmates discovered some amazing things at Deconinck High School, with interviews with one of the teachers, a segment for Offsite Insight, diving deep into the subject of music, and so much more. So without further ado, let's get right into it. First on this podcast, I had a special guest with me to interview about her career path. Let's get right into it. Welcome to The Interview. I am Julian, and today I'm with Ms. Saldo talking about Deconinck High School. So, hello, Ms. Saldo.
Hello, Julian.
So, can you tell us a little bit more about Deconinck High School?
Well, Deconinck High School became a full CTE school about 3 years ago. We have 15 CTE programs and approximately 900 students. We're supposed to be getting a new CTE program in the next few years.
Okay. How long have you been a teacher in general?
I am in my 18th year. I have taught both middle and high school over those 18 years.
What made you decide to become a teacher?
That's a little bit more of a long story. In my past, I have had many occupations. Of all of those occupations, I have been laid off probably four or five different times due to the company closing. And when I really had to think about, like, reimagining my life after the last layoff, looking through the want ads in the paper, there were a lot of ads for teachers. So I figured since I had a lot of experience as a gymnastics coach, I started coaching when I was 18, fresh out of high school, and absolutely loved working with kids, that maybe becoming a teacher was in my future. So I went back to school and got my certification.
What do you like most about the profession?
I like the fact that we can kind of shape, as teachers, we can kind of shape the future through our students. Most of those of us who are teachers believe that, you know, one person can change the world. And there hopefully has been a student that has passed through my classroom that will change the world for the positive, like make an impact.
What would you like to see change in education?
There's a few things I'd like to see change in education. Most importantly, though, I think that from the state level, it would be really nice if education were more of a priority for funding. I think accountability is definitely a thing, but if you're going to hold schools accountable for behaviors and for other things that we don't necessarily have control over, you need to give us a few more resources as a school system, as administrators, and as educators to be able to enact change on the hot topics of behavior and accountability.
How long have you been a teacher at Deconinck High School?
I'm in year 9. I started at Deconinck the last year the old building was still standing. I spent a year in the old building, and then I had the privilege of moving here in the new building. I got to see lots of changes since then, and it's kind of amazing to work in such a nice building.
What is your favorite thing about Deconinck?
I would say the staff. The staff is a very cohesive group. Everyone works very hard to help each other, collaborate, and we also happen to have a very, very diverse education, experience, expertise, where I know that no matter what I need, there's somebody in the building that is capable of helping me or teaching me or showing me how. But secondly, of course, I love my students too, because, you know, where would I be as a teacher without the students? I draw a lot of my inspiration from my students.
You mentioned coaching gymnastics. What made you decide to teach art?
Well, I actually thought very hard when it came to deciding how I was going to use my going back to school. Was I going to be a PE teacher, or would I follow a different path, a different passion? Art has always been something I wanted to be better at. So I figured maybe if I went to school for art, I would not only get better, but find something new and exciting. So yeah, I ended up deciding to go back to school for art instead of phys ed.
What is your favorite kind of art to make personally?
Well, it's kind of hard to say because I like a lot of different kinds of art. So I tend to fluctuate a lot. Right at this current moment, I would say ceramics. I'm trying really hard to get better at throwing pottery on the wheel. So that's at the moment. But ask me again next month. It may change and may go back to like collage or, I don't know, maybe even painting. We'll see.
Are you making any current art like paintings?
Yes, I am, actually. I am kind of inspired by an artist called Kristen Davies. She does this blocking style of painting that's very, very bright. And it's usually either around a pool or near the beach. And we are currently interviewing right now in the month of March. So my inspiration for beach and pool come from me really looking forward to summer.
As a teacher, what do you have to do to get your certification?
Well, when you begin in Massachusetts, you have to have a bachelor's degree at the very minimum. And then you have to go on to take specialized courses depending on your subject matter. They are usually relative to your subject matter. And then at some point during your time as a teacher, you will be required to also pursue a master's degree. You have to enroll in a program for your master's degree within your first 5 years of teaching, and then you have five more years to complete your master's degree. I started off with a two-year degree in business marketing from Berkshire Community College, and then I moved on. It took me about 15 more years before I went back to school to get my bachelor's degree, but I have a bachelor's degree from Westfield State College. And my master's degree is from Boston University. I specialized for my master's degree in art education. But here at Taconic, not only do I teach art, but because I also have a degree in marketing, I picked up a marketing course where I teach students how to market themselves, how to market a business, what analytics are, all the fun stuff. The interesting part is I had to reteach myself marketing because my marketing degree is from 1988. And for those of you who have been around long enough, you know digital marketing, social media, and all that kind of stuff was not around in 1988. Nope. So for me, education is ongoing. And most teachers, that is part of the commitment that we make as a teacher, is that we are lifelong learners, meaning that we are constantly pursuing more knowledge to inform our practice, to make us better at what we do, and to better serve our students. And that's what professional development actually is all about. We all go back to school almost every summer and take courses that help inform our practice.
And that's what gives us all the days off for like some of the professional development days that you guys have.
Right.
And that you guys have to stay here all day.
Yes. And that's us collaborating with our colleagues, usually.
I want to thank Ms. Saldo for taking time out of her busy day to come talk to me and educate me more about the Taconic High School. This was The Interview.
Thank you, Julian.
I'd like to thank Ms. Saldo for joining me and giving us some insight on how she became a teacher at Taconic High School. Next, we go to you, Avery, who had an exciting talk with one of our multimedia co-op students.
Bringing you out of your comfort zone on Offsite Insight.
Alrighty. Welcome to Offsite Insight. We have brought back a student from our shop multimedia who has gone out on, let's say, a little adventure. Kira, would you like to introduce yourself? Say hi to the audience.
Hi, it's Kira, and I went on co-op recently.
Whee! Yay! So, how fun has that been?
It's been really great because I have a work from home job, and I basically get to make my own hours. So I do my work. I usually do it in the morning so that I can get it out of the way before my family gets home from their job / school so that I can hang out with them. So it's been great.
So it sounds like you have a very normal work schedule, probably similar-ish to school in general.
Similar-ish. I get done with work either 11 or 12 every day. I start at like 7 or 8.
Mm. So you get to wake up at like a normal time for high school students because we're supposed to wake up way later than we have to.
I know. I'm really mad about that for you guys.
Yeah. But yeah, so what is some of the work that you've been working on with your co-op?
So I've been doing a lot of different things. Recently, I've been doing book trailers, and I've been making those for the clients of the company. I've also been adding sound effects to audiobooks and learning more about audio technic stuff for that type of thing. I've also been rough editing for audiobooks as well.
So you've been working a lot with audio. Would you say your experience here has sort of carried fully over, or do you think you've still had some stuff to learn?
I think I still have some stuff to learn, but the majority of stuff that I know has been either from here or from when I was working with my producer, which I still do, but I learned a lot of stuff there too.
Yeah. So you say you've been working from home. Have you had to go in yet or anything like that, or has it just been all home?
Well, usually we Zoom if we need to discuss anything because they're out of state right now, and that's a thing that happens. But when they come back, we're going to do some in-person meetings to do some more filming for their videos that I need to edit.
Mm. Was the process of getting signed up for this co-op like super difficult, or like how did that go?
There was a bit of different things that needed to happen. They didn't have the proper insurance for me to work for them, so they went through a really hard process of doing that, and I thank them so much for that because they didn't need to. They didn't need to take me on as a co-op, but they did. They really like the work that I do, so that was a thing that happened. Also, I kind of found my boss through one of my extracurriculars. I was in the same class as him with martial arts, and that's where I found him originally.
Ah. So would you say this opportunity is like mainly just been from like your hard work, or do you think it's been sort of just like happenstance? How do you think this opportunity sort of arised itself?
I think it started more as like, oh, you do this kind of thing in school. Maybe we could try out having you like intern for us or something, and you can try out a couple things and we'll see what happens. And then it kind of gradually grew into more of me being an employee. My actual official title is project manager.
Ooh.
For like a new portion of the company that they're starting.
That's like a much higher up role than you would expect from like a high school student doing a co-op.
Yeah, which that's really awesome because they saw the work that I did and they saw the initiative that I put in and they really appreciate the stuff that I do. That's what they say every time. And I really like that. They're very supportive and it's really great for this opportunity. I really like it.
Do you think that they're going to have you branch out into more editing and more stuff like that? Or do you think they're going to keep it like mainly just sound and a little bit of video editing?
I think that we're going to do a lot more branching out because this side of the company that is happening right now, they're just starting to get new clients after a meeting that they went to. And there's some pretty famous people coming in and trying to get their books done with Ellis Audiobooks. So it's pretty awesome.
So a little bit of an off-topic question, but sort of staying in line with it. So you've been doing a lot of audiobook work. Would you say that that's led you to doing any like more reading or like listening to more audiobooks to sort of like get inspiration or anything like that?
Honestly, I feel like I have listened to more audiobook content since I started. Not very much, but more. And I've tended to enjoy it more now that I know the processing. I think that happens for a lot of different things for me. Once I know how to do it, then I enjoy it more. Yeah. Or vice versa, if it's not very fun after, but
yeah, you're like, maybe I'm not going to engage with this media as much because
yeah,
working on it's a bit of a pain. Yeah. So I know that you've worked a lot with music and done a lot of stuff like that. So if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to ask some questions about that. Have, since you've worked on music a lot, has it been interesting to work with like more voiceover stuff? Like, how has that been a process, and does your work on music incorporate into that in any way?
It's definitely a different thing that happens, which it's a completely different process of how to edit it, but the fundamentals are similar. Like, you still have to get things sounding right, but with music, the lyrics are usually easier to cover up because the excess sound of the music that covers over any flaws is there. But for audiobooks, there's no background noise unless there's like a sound effect or two in there. So it's more difficult to get the right sound.
Mm. So there are some small differences. Do you think that you've had still time to work on like music and your own personal projects while working at this co-op, or like the work-life balance aspect of it?
Yes and no. Yes, because I've actually gotten an opportunity from a local business so that I can do a set one time in April. So that's pretty epic. I'm really excited about it. I've been practicing my piano and guitar more often and doing that kind of stuff. I've also been doing some more ukulele and violin. I like doing those instruments. They're great. And yeah, but for now, finding a proper schedule is very difficult for me because I have a lot of extracurriculars like martial arts and Beatnest, which is another job of mine that isn't an official co-op, but I still work like every Tuesday and Thursday for them, or if there's a birthday party. So that's cool. But yeah, there's just a lot going on.
Mm. So there's a lot going on for you, but like, do you ever feel like this is, you want to take stuff off of your plate, or do you take it with stride? Are you like, I love doing this, I love working on this, I will accept the responsibility and all this stuff?
I really enjoy the responsibility of doing all the things that I do because it makes me feel like I'm doing something important, and I really am. I'm helping out companies do what they do best, and I like that about it. And taking that responsibility upon myself, I feel better about it. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Do you think that, like, if you ever come back more to the shop to work with us on so many other projects, do you think a lot of these, the work you're doing will, like, come back and help you out be even better?
I think so, because with this podcast even, you invited me back to help, and I'm really excited about it. I really like helping out, which is a fun thing to do. And a lot of the stuff I've been learning is very important to things that I can do to help you guys, like with editing and stuff.
And I think that's a good place to end it, talking about how it was to be on the co-op. We'd love to get you back here for more stuff again, to see you in the studio and work with you more, especially seeing how the co-op skills have really helped you out. You went in your training arc, in a way.
Of course.
Getting all your stuff done, getting really better at it. And thank you so much, Kira.
I'd like to give a special thanks to Kira for taking the time to join us on giving us some insight on how her co-op job is going. Next, I had a chance to speak about a certain topic with another student and a multimedia teacher about music. Let's get into that.
And welcome back to Up on Taconic. I'm actually kind of guesting in here. I'm Mr. Chiquette, and I am here with Aiden and Julian. And we've been talking all week about this idea of generational music and sort of what it means from the point of view of a student, and I guess in this case from the point of view of a teacher or an older person, as I guess I'm relegated to play in this case. I don't know why I always have to be the old guy in the situation, but once again, here I am. And I can be the sort of the boomer, if you will, even though I'm not. I'm a Gen Xer, right? Which means that I'm a little bit younger than the normal boomer, who would probably be another 15 years older than me. But we were talking about music in terms of like how it impacts generations, and this idea that older people always tend to say the same things. You know, if you've got a grandparent or someone who's kind of grumpy with music, they sit there and go, "Oh, all the music today is crap. It all sounds, you know, give me a good old Trog song or a good old Beatles song any day." That's when real music, they talk about the days of real music, right? And we've wanted to kind of have that discussion a little bit in terms of why it is that people generally just listen to the music that's usually created around a certain time in their life. So give me your initial take, Aiden, and start with you. Give me your initial take in terms of just the general concept of kind of this generational music, in terms of like, what do you fall into that category yourself, that you think that you are someone who tends to just keep up with the genre you like, but in the current day, or can you kind of go back and kind of appreciate music from all eras?
I think, given the fact that my favorite music genre currently is metal, which doesn't go super, super far back, I think with what there is, I definitely can go farther back a little than where I would probably end up being, which for my age would probably be mid to late 2010s. But I can see myself going usually as far back as mid to late 90s is usually where I see myself going as far back as. But that's just in terms of the way metal music in general has kind of gone since it originally derived from old style rock and roll, then to the kind of Ozzy Osbourne style.
Yeah, early then, 70s Black Sabbath is probably the beginning of metal, right?
Yeah, like the birth of metal, so like Black Sabbath, Slayer, even AC/DC, certain songs of them. Yeah. But I think like the current metal that I like, sort of like new metal and beyond, which was kind of like mid to late 90s, like Nirvana, Slipknot, Limp Bizkit, just like those kinds of artists that took metal from where it was going and shot it into a completely different direction. And then, I mean, my two current favorite bands right now, I Prevail and Sleep Token. I Prevail started in, I believe, 2014, and then Sleep Token was in 2016, I think. So I think definitely I think I somewhat keep up, but I also somewhat look back on about a decade or two of the music that I like, at least. I think that's usually where about I fall. It's usually anywhere from late 2010s to late 90s is usually where about I fall.
Great. And Julian, how about you? Do you find that you listen to music right from the current day mostly without ever looking back, or do you occasionally like some things that are older as well?
There's points where I do just listen to the current ones. I sometimes go back like mid 2000s, but not like back any further than that.
Yeah. Okay. So like within this, like you said, like 2005, mid 2000s. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. One of the things that came out recently was there was a study, and the study showed that most people have developed the musical taste of what their entire life is going to be like by the time they hit 30 years old. So think about that. So if I go back as someone who's now in their 50s, when I hit 30, I was listening to a lot of groups like, I don't know, Ben Folds 5, Guster, Bare Naked Ladies, these kind of like 90s bands, late 90s bands into early 2000s. So by the time I hit the 30-year-old threshold, I think that actually held true for me for quite a while, that I actually like, even as I got into my 40s and all that, I would still go back and kind of like think about all that music. Lately, I've been trying to buck the trend a little bit by actually having like playlists that, you know, Chapel Roan, and like I was joking, but I really do have like, Sabrina Carpenter, Dua Lipa. And the funny thing is, I'm a real sucker for a pop song. So even though I love really good rock and well-played rock and even kind of bordering into, you know, metal and things like that, when it comes to new stuff, I'm not seeking out, Aiden, the things that you kind of like to listen to, but I am seeking out what the latest pop is, because when I think back to my my younger days, I always had a playlist or CDs or whatever it would have been back then of that pop music. So I'm trying to break the trend, but it's hard. It really is hard because you feel like you're out of water at that point. You feel like you're like you got to start over,
yeah.
You know, in terms of looking up and doing your research to find what's out there.
It feels like you're somewhere you shouldn't be musically wise.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it seems like the same track that you keep. I could put an example. I could listen to a certain genre for a certain amount of time and then like a certain time period of when those songs came out and mm-hmm. just keep going. I cannot break that cycle because I'm constantly listening to that same exact song.
Yeah. 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 Like, and that's the thing too. It's the repetition, right? Like we tend to like a song until we don't often. Right. So, I mean, again, I used to joke about this song all the time, but one of the songs that brought me back into kind of saying, well, maybe there's some music out there for me to like is Sabrina Carpenter's Espresso. Silly, right? Because for you, it's a trite old song that was a hit for a little while and then it went away, right? For someone like me, it became a staple of something that was like, oh, well, I actually like this song and it's accessible to me, even though I'm older and I don't normally listen to it. And then I started to dig in and say, you know, I could even ask AI or something, what are songs like this? And it started to spit out all these songs so I made a playlist out of those to start. And now it's like, I'm actually getting into, you know, things that where it's like, oh, well, Charlie Puth or, you know, just those types of pop acts as well. So now my playlist is like 2 or 3 hours long and I feel like I'm a little bit in the game again and stuff. So do you have particular songs that really, like, let me ask you to do what I just did the other way. Like, can you go back, like you talk, like you mentioned in an earlier conversation about like Frank Sinatra and things like that.
Yeah.
Is that something you listen to a lot?
Not super often, but if I do listen to like stereotypically older music, it is usually somebody, the main two that it usually is either Frank Sinatra or Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I mean, Queen, they were one of the pioneers of the more modern-ish rock and roll.
Mm-hmm. How did you find Queen, by the way?
Was it
through the movie, or did you just happen to
I think I just happened to stumble upon it through my dad.
Yeah.
Because I think he was listening to it one day, and I asked him about it, and he just said it was Queen.
Yeah.
And I think I just ended up listening to them, and I found Bohemian Rhapsody right. and We Will Rock You. But then later on, I found, like, Somebody to Love. That song, I love that song a lot.
Yep.
But I think definitely Queen are a really good example of that because, I mean, from the current music taste I have, I definitely like people who sort of pioneer certain styles of music. Right. And I think Queen was definitely a bit older of an example of that.
Absolutely.
I think yeah. it was like them and then Ozzy Osbourne who kind of took rock in two different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them ended up heavily prospering because of them.
Right, right.
And I mean, I do sometimes just love the idea of like good old fashioned, like almost jazzy mm-hmm. music, like the kind of stuff that Frank Sinatra does. It's like almost jazz, but like it almost feels like primitive pop,
yeah,
almost
that's a good way
like
to say
like
it. Yeah.
it's like the first pop music,
yeah.
And that was the thing that made me like it because it had some of the, like the base foundationing of pop that I do like, but then like with modern pop I don't love,
yeah,
which is like the repetition and kind of yeah. like predictability,
yeah.
But I think
or the technology too, right?
Yeah,
drum machines and keyboards yeah. versus real instruments, and yeah.
I do think that like especially a great example of My Way. I think that is definitely a great example. Mm-hmm. Something like that because it keeps the same sort of feel until the end,
yeah.
and then it all like crescendos into a big yeah. climactic
big
end
band thing. Sure,
yeah,
sure. Now, Julian, how about you? Like, either do you have something that you can throw back to and say, "Oh, there is some old stuff I like," or if not, give me a good example of something currently that you're listening to.
No, I can't really go back and think of a song that I used to listen to like back in the day.
Yeah.
There is one current song that I do listen to. It's Demons and Angels by Juice WRLD. It's like kind of a current song that I'm just like really into.
Yeah.
It just like suits my mood for the day.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I think this is one of these things where we almost have to like be good to have a good hour to talk about this because
yeah.
I do. I mean,
100%.
Yeah. We can go through this time really, really quickly. But I am amazed, and maybe we can come back in another episode just to talk a little bit more about this and why this music hits us so hard
yeah.
and why we are the way we are in terms of how we develop style and taste with music. So, Julian, Aiden, thanks so much for joining us today on Up in Taconic, yep. and back to you.
I want to give a special thanks to Mr. Chiquette and Aiden for joining me to talk about the differences in past and current music. Now, we go to a challenge that Avery, Aiden, and Dalton did with Minecraft.
where we tackle insurmountable odds. The Challenge. And we are back for our next challenge. So last time we did Le Spicy Bean, where we had to eat a Carolina Reaper.
Great visual correct. Representation, Dalton. One small problem.
Yep.
No video.
Yep. No video. Yeah. So.
Sorry. There you go.
Yeah, we had a Carolina. We all had to do the Carolina Reaper one, and it wasn't that bad.
Except
in
for
fact,
me.
Well, I heard the habanero was worse.
It might have been.
It kind of was. Especially, I had both.
Yeah.
At like the same ish time, my mouth was on fire.
Yeah, the habanero was low key kind of worse.
Yeah.
Thankfully,
it was not fun.
I did not get that unlucky. I just got like sriracha twice, which was very unfortunate because it tasted terrible.
Dog, I got sriracha like three times in
a
row.
I got like seven jalapenos.
Yeah.
And it just tasted like straight pepper.
It's just.
Like not even spice at first. Just like I took a bite out of a bell pepper.
You're just like, ugh.
And then my mouth was on fire.
It was just so funny when we got the first one because he was just like, is it a pepper? Is it a pepper?
Didn't you like, yeah. Liv, didn't you dislike most of like the normal flavors
of yeah.
the peppers?
You hated like
you didn't
half
even
of them.
Eat them. You like took a bite and then you're like, bleh.
Yeah, because yeah. I knew I wouldn't like most of them.
Yeah.
But I also got, like, a whole bunch of peppers in a row, so it's just...
You got, like, three jalapenos back-to-back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. The freaking the pina colada was, like, really good, though.
Bomb.
That one was
fire.
That one was so good.
Anything was good compared to the
death pepper.
Okay,
yeah,
but, like, I
yeah.
don't even like jelly beans, but the pina colada one was, like, chef's kiss. It was so
I
good.
Only like...
All right, all right. Enough about the old. In with
the
Minecraft.
New, the Minecraft. All right,
so, Minecraft.
So we rolled for a new challenge, and we got the 2 week Minecraft phase. So we played, we did some mining, we did some crafting, we Minecraft.
We did the mining and the crafting and the building. You were a bum.
I mined a lot. I don't want to hear it.
I mined more than you.
Yeah, I'm because I was
my pockets were lined in gold and iron.
Yeah,
and coal
you,
and diamonds.
You left
and
our society.
And everything.
You did leave our society.
You left our society.
We lived in a village.
Nomad.
You lived in
yeah. I
the
went
middle
to go
of
live
nowhere.
As a mountain man, and it made me a rich man.
I found you at one point.
Yeah,
I
and you thought I was a village.
Yeah, I thought.
Oh, I found a village. Why are you at my house?
Yeah,
you were so far away. How was I supposed to know you were
well,
there?
Yeah, but
yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a lot more obvious now than I've like actually mm-hmm. redid
Come
my base.
Come out of your hiding hole.
No, now that I've like redid my base.
But yeah.
So I guess we should just talk about the process there.
The process,
I suppose.
We started the world with all four of us.
We
and then almost never
just
had
us
that
two?
Again. Yeah, we almost never had that again. I think we had that
there
again
was like
one
maybe
or two other
three
times.
Days that we like all four of us
yeah,
got
like
available.
3 days where we all got on.
Actually, I think it was 3 days where it was more than just me and Aiden.
Yeah.
Our timing is awful.
Yeah. Me and Dalton got most of the progress in the game.
Yeah.
Because. I went off, did my own thing, and became a filthy rich man because of it.
Yeah.
I became Kingpin.
It looks like when you play the game, you play the game.
Yeah. It's almost like when you play the game, you progress in the game.
I lived a more
Loser.
Domestic life. I made a house.
But, yeah, so, like, I tried to find time and try to do what I can, but, yeah, it could be a little difficult sometimes. My schedule.
I think
you left us to play Uma Musume.
Yeah.
Okay, Uma Musume is awesome.
But Minecraft with the boys.
Horse.
And Ollie.
I named a horse Agnes Tachyon for you.
You did?
Yeah.
Aww.
Because that thing
night.
Was like vertical Usain Bolt.
Yeah, it could jump like five blocks.
It literally could jump like to the roof of his house.
Was it like the fastest
from the floor?
As well?
It was pretty
quick
too.
Yeah, so yeah, that's
it
yeah,
was
that's,
quick.
That's,
and I watched this man jump from the ground to my roof in like 2-3 jumps.
That's
literally, my roof is literally, like, 20 blocks tall. And this man just...
We got an Uma, bro.
All the way up there, yeah.
When we were playing, I think one of the main problems I had is that it kept crashing.
You were on mobile?
Yeah.
The
we
were on, you
were,
like,
on
an iPad?
It was, like, a scale. We had, like, mobile, then console players, and then I was the one PC player, so
well,
I was,
no,
like...
no. It was mobile, last-gen console, current-gen console, PC.
Yeah, it was, like, a scale, like...
Yeah.
I also had awful internet. Well, I kept crashing.
Yeah, that's probably because
yeah,
you had you were
really
on a mobile device.
That too, but like I was sitting across the house while we were.
But yeah, so like, did a lot of mining. I still remember how early I found the giant mine shaft.
Yeah.
Like, oh crap! I was like, this is insane. So I got like a lot of iron that I think I still have to smelt. Like I still haven't smelted all of it. Like there was so much.
I mean, then I got neither have I.
Yeah.
And again, you also just like don't get on.
Smelt my ores.
Well, I try to keep some, like I only smelt what I need.
Well, I smelt like the good ones, like iron and gold. Yeah. I have a lot of raw copper.
I usually just I usually only smelt what I need, and I usually just keep the rest raw, for the time being.
Mm-hmm. So it was like, yeah. Same here, sort of, like, because I want to use, like, everything efficiently. But, like, I made a smoker, so I was like, I can smoke my meats. You
know? Yep.
So. And then you didn't get on to use
Yeah,
them.
And then you didn't get on
okay,
to
but
smoke
I
meats.
Smoked all the meats that I needed to smoke.
You could have been smoking more meats, though.
Yeah.
But you didn't, because you're a bum.
It's like one of those YouTube shorts where the guy's like, and then you put the temperature in the thing, and then we're smoking low and slow on Applewood, and it's just like
Max the meat guy?
And, yeah, and it's just Agnes Tachyon instead in Minecraft.
In the smoker or, like, cooking the meat?
Cooking the
yes.
meat.
Yes. All of the above.
She's like, okay. All right, guinea pig, it's time to smoke the meat. Remember, low and slow.
All right. Well, either way, me and Dalton were the first two to get to the nether. We did that.
I was the first to get to the nether.
We were the first two.
Well, yes. But that's a very low bar because these two didn't get on very
yeah.
much.
He went in, like, one time looking for something or other. I don't even remember what...
Liv, did you even go in?
No.
I was trying to mine, so
then again, I don't even think I don't. Would your iPad have even handled?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
that's why I didn't
go through. Yeah,
your iPad could not handle.
Yeah, yeah, maybe I don't. If you could barely handle the overworld, you would have not been able to handle the app.
You could barely handle like a village.
Yeah,
mobs were all of a sudden on my butt, and it was just like, oh, where'd it go?
Well,
oh.
I'm dead.
Yeah, I saw you. I was like, do you
it's
have
like,
leather
well,
armor?
I'm dead.
And you were like, yeah. I was like, do you want iron? You were like, it would be nice.
I still die.
And I was like, I have like 46. Like I had like a whole stack and then some of iron. I was like,
I yelled for help a lot because all of a sudden there's a mob
help,
and then
help, well, there
help
was
me.
Me.
Help.
Yeah, well, exactly. I could have been no help to you because I was off living as a mountain
he
man.
He was off living as a mountain man. I had no clue what you were doing at any given point, Dalton.
You walked
I was
past
like
me
always in
times.
My house.
You
yeah.
you sometimes I would be like I'd like half the time you'd be like, I need help. And I'd be like, hold on, let me get this iron. And then you would die in like 2 seconds. And I'd be yep. like, oh crap.
Yeah.
I stayed above land, so I could not be helped.
Help me.
I was 1,000 blocks away, so I couldn't be any help either. Your only hope was Avery, and he was too busy like smuggling his iron into his own home.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, iron. You can't hate on me. Don't hate the player. Hate the game.
Yeah, no.
I
you
hate
were in
both.
The, you were in the cave looking for diamonds. I was in the cave 3 years ago finding them.
Yeah.
I stole all the diamonds from you. They call me capitalism.
This man has the world's population of diamonds.
This is why I was kingpin. I took everything, and now I'm going to sell it back to you for 8 times the price. They
That's
call
so
me
mean.
Steve Jobs.
What's actually going to happen is like, bro, I really need like a diamond pickaxe right now. And you're like, okay, just take it.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
what would actually happen.
An entire set of diamond armor.
Yeah.
Like, yo, bro, do you want diamond armor? I'm like, sure.
Wait, yeah,
you didn't even ask if I had enough
well,
diamonds.
Yeah. Dog,
you
we were
going
to go to
it.
The end and you had like iron armor unenchanted. I was like, you well, know, maybe considering
when,
the fact we're
when,
going to fight the final boss, you should probably have some stronger things.
Yeah. Like when we hop back on. When I get back on soonish, like I'm probably gonna be like, yo, I really want to do like potion brewing. So like, if you give me diamond armor, I can explore the nether more to like actually do potion brewing stuff. Like we do that.
I don't think I have any more diamonds on me right now.
Oh, darn.
I think I had like I think I had like 27 and I used 24 to make him a
two.
To
make
I got
him a
two diamonds.
I think. Wait. Yeah, I think I had two. Unless I wait. No, I lost the other.
I mean,
I crashed.
Can't even make a pickaxe with that, dog.
Can't make a pickaxe.
You could get a sword.
You can get a sword.
Can't have nothing in the Minecraft caves on mobile.
I know if I have just one, I know I can make a spear. I think.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
You have to put it on a table in a certain pattern, depending on the item that you want to make.
Can we boot the Scraft podcast?
I was.
Can we kick the host, please?
No, I'm the
wait.
Host. You can do that.
Wait, 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 wait.
I accidentally killed Avery.
That sounds about right.
Oh, God.
I think by the end of us doing the challenge, I just wandered off. I found Aiden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I just kept walking. I said I was going to go, like, hang out with Aiden at his base. And then
and then you
gained for, like, 13 seconds and left again.
No, I didn't even get back. I got lost.
Yeah, no. You said you were going to hang out. You stayed for 13 seconds and then just went off trekking alone again.
Yep.
And then, like, you were gone. You said that, like, five seconds after I saw you leave, and then you were nowhere to be found in my general view. Like, are you the Flash? Where did you go?
I don't know. I fell like, off the mountain, I think.
I am Speed.
Yes. No, she is lost.
I am lost. Yeah. I'm going to have to, like, die.
It's literally Lightning McQueen, bro. You're literally Lightning McQueen. Y'all lost, but yeah. He is Speed.
But yeah, it was mostly me and Dalton. The both of us made the most progress in the Nether. I found the Bastion that gave me Netherite.
I had very humble.
Not the Stronghold.
I found the Stronghold. You found the fortress.
Well, I also found the Stronghold.
One thing I don't recommend, don't use the boat on mobile.
No boating on mobile.
That's a good take.
Don't use the boat at all.
Don't use the boat.
Don't use the boat.
Don't take it out there. Don't use the boat.
Unless you're in like an ice biome.
Just learn how to swim, bro. Just get good.
Even swimming was a little painful for me.
Well, yeah.
Swimming's, I think.
How badly did your thumbs hurt after each gaming session?
I don't even know. I don't think they hurt.
I've been playing so much PC games that like my thumb on my left hand just hurts now. I'm just getting like carpal tunnel. Like,
good job.
It's bad.
Carpal tunnel gang. Put your hands up.
If you hear me, put your hands up.
If you hear me, put your hands up.
But yeah, so it's been like, I had humble goals, okay? I wanted to become an alchemist.
I had less humble goals. I wanted to become God.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I kind of just lived.
Yeah.
I got like 7 horses.
Yeah, you had like 5.
Yeah.
And you only have like 1 kind of useful one.
I got 2. I got another pretty quick one, but it was quickly beaten by Agnes.
Exactly. She's the undefeated chick. She's the Phantom Triple Crown. I'm sorry. I was very, very passionate about that.
Anyway. Yeah. After we got everything we needed, me and Dalton alone went to the end because you're both bums.
Asphalt just came out in Honkai Star Rail, okay? I've been waiting
Molly
for her for 3
years.
Molly
came out in Warframe.
You couldn't
This podcast isn't about those. It's about Minecraft.
Yeah. You couldn't leave for 20 minutes to just be like, all right, let's beat the Ender Dragon and then we can dip. No, you disappeared.
Yes.
You evaporated off the face of the earth.
Because I said presume me dead when she comes out. Okay, anyways.
Valid.
You could have literally left your Warframe and you could have left your Honkai Star Rail for 15 minutes.
Nuh-uh.
15 minutes was all you needed to like fight the Ender Dragon and go back to what you were doing.
The only time I left Warframe was
that
when
way we could have done
I
it together.
I had to eat dinner and I didn't even eat dinner.
That way we could have beat the Ender Dragon together, but no.
Nuh-uh.
You bums.
I need my space ninjas. All right, anyway.
Anyways.
You need your feeble men.
Okay, he is not. Okay, he's an old man. He's not feeble.
Feeble old man.
His leg is broken. He does have a cane.
Feeble old man.
A troop. All right, but so, what shall we roll for next?
Oh God. All right. Here we go.
See no evil. Let's go.
Hopefully.
Please.
It's the See No Evil challenge.
Yeah. Oh God, we're gonna.
We gotta
get that on camera and.
Yeah, we need to do a video and that.
I can't hear you.
Next, you have to add the eggs. What? No, sorry, hang on.
They're gonna put me on mute. They're gonna be like, make the voice actor mute.
Next, you need to add the eggs. What? And then there's just a guy that's blind. It's like, what's going on? It's like staring at the wall behind him. Just, what's going on?
Just Daredevil.
Yeah.
I can see you.
No, I can't.
Be cancerous when we do that.
Yeah. That's gonna be a lot of fun.
The kitchen we're doing it in is really small.
4 people, tiny kitchen. One of us can't see. One of us can't talk. One of us can't hear. And one's trapped in the Arctic.
Yep. Recipe for disaster,
either,
folks.
Either like. You know what would be kind of funny is keeping one person outside with, like, the window closed so all you could hear is just them,
put the egg in the bowl!
We should do that.
That's the strat. That's actually the strat.
Either that or,
they
like...
They have the recipe.
Or, like, yes. Either, like, trap them outside and close the windows or, like, just have their arms tied behind their back.
Something like that.
I think having their arms tied behind their back is, like, do no evil. Yeah. I think it's probably the best option for that.
But also, like... It's the bowl!
Yeah.
It'd be really funny.
Yeah.
We'll flip a coin when we get to it.
Yeah.
Alright.
We'll spin a secondary wheel.
Yeah.
Well, come back next time.
We got our next challenge.
See the chaos for that.
Yay!
I want to thank Avery, Aiden, and Dalton to give us that wonderful piece. I thank everyone today for taking time out of the day for Opatikonic. For more from us here at Taconic, check out our YouTube channel, Taconic TV. Thank you to all our listeners, and I hope you have an amazing evening.